It's so good to have this goal before our eyes. We need this goal of God's promise before our eyes. Let's read together 2 Peter 1, verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, all things that pertain to life and godliness, His divine power has given to us. That's something very precious, which we need to hold on to. On one side, God has given us so many wonderful promises, as Manuel just showed us. We'll inherit the earth. We shall inherit the earth. And He wants us to rule with Him over the earth. And especially in these days, I have a great amen to that. And I pray, Lord, give us this earth. These are wonderful promises that God has given to us. And we want to lay hold and obtain these promises. But it requires also a growth. It requires a growth. It requires steps. And James shows us that the purpose of our faith, the destiny of our faith, is to be a certain first fruit of His creatures, meaning that our faith should bring some fruit. So we can say our faith is like a seed. I just draw a seed here. And inside the seed, inside the seed is everything contained. Everything that you need, everything that a plant needs to grow is inside the seed. If you plant a seed today, everything that is required for the plant to grow roots is inside the seed. Everything that required to form leaves, to form branches, is inside the seed. We don't need to add anything to that seed, but this faith is perfect. We don't need to add anything to our faith because it's perfect, but this faith is everything contained to bring fruit. And if we draw what James says, the goal, in the end, is a fruit. And more precisely, it's a first fruit. Everything that you need to become a first fruit is contained in this seed, in this faith. All things that pertain to life and godliness is in this faith. This faith has been planted into us. So, but what else is required that this seed can bring such a fruit in the end? You can sow the seeds, but if you want to have a fruit in the end, it depends a lot on the circumstances where the seed should grow. What environment do you give the seed that it can grow? Imagine you have the most precious seed in this universe and you plant it in the ground, but then you put this pot into the basement. There is no light, no water. Well, then any fruit grow? Even if the seed is the most expensive seed on the world, and many people worked on it and invested to grow it, to have such a seed, But if you don't take care of it properly, in the end you will not have any fruit. And therefore we need to see today that, yes, on one side, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We all have received the equal precious faith we have heard today, just like Peter. And Peter, in the end, he brought forth a wonderful fruit, and we also want that. But it also depends on us. It depends on us. How do we treat with this faith that God has given us? There's a portion, a task for us, and we need to take care of that portion, because the Lord will come soon. We know the Lord will come very, very soon. Let's assume it's maybe 1.5 years. Then what shall we do? We should do everything that this fruit shall mature in us. When you know the harvest is coming soon, I will take care of my plant as good as possible so that the fruit will grow. And that's the positive side. And on the negative side, we need to put aside and stop everything that hinders us from bringing this good fruit. Let us have such an attitude, because the Lord will come soon, and we want to be such a fruit. And today, it is on us if God will have such a fruit. God has produced already the seed. He has brought forth such a seed through death and resurrection, and gave us all this same faith so that we all can bring such a fruit. But now it's on us. It needs our cooperation. And, for example, Paul says, a seed has to be, you have to water it. He says, I have planted, Apollos has watered. But God has given the growth. God gives the growth. We cannot make it. But what did Paul have to do? He had to plant and to water it. We have to water our faith. Our faith needs water. And to Timothy, he also says, I will read the verse, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. So our faith needs food. Each plant needs food. Needs nutrition. And therefore it's important that we nourish ourselves with the Word of God every day. This is really a foundation of our faith, that every day we spend time with the Lord. Every day we nourish ourselves with the words of faith and spend time with the Lord. If you don't do that, your faith will have problems. Your faith will not grow and will not produce fruit, and your plant will be so poor. But if in these days you seek the Lord every day and you separate time for the Lord each day, you spend time in the Word with the Lord, and you nourish yourself with the Word, then you will receive strength. You will become strong and produce fruit. And also light is very important for a plant. A plant without light will die. We all need light from the Lord, especially. And we will only receive that in your personal fellowship with the Lord. When you separate yourself and come to the Lord, let the Lord shine in your heart. My heart needs light from the Lord. And it's so precious to receive His light. And when you receive light, your faith can grow further. to spend time in the Word. For example, Psalm 1, verse 2. Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is a wonderful promise. When we have our delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law, our minds are focused on the Lord and his return, about his kingdom, his second coming, especially in these last days, it's so vital. Then we will bring fruit, we will be planted by the rivers of water. It's really something we need to pay attention to. If you neglect that, if you are lazy in that, your faith can be so precious, but it will bring not any fruit. But if you take heed of that, your faith, that you are nourished, that you are watered, your faith will bring much fruit. And one more thing we need to take care of is in verse 3. All things that pertain to life and godliness, his divine power has given to us through the knowledge of him. In German it says, through the precise knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It's through him, through the knowledge of him. It's a person himself, the Lord himself. It doesn't mean that we should run after knowledge and to have the right word. It's not about this knowledge, but it's the knowledge of him. Lord, I want to know you more and more. This word knowledge here, I've looked it up. If you translate it in Greek, it says that somebody that you know already, to know this person much more, to know this person better. That's the actual meaning of the Greek word. Say, Lord, I want to know you even better. Every day we have so many situations, many things happening that you're confronted with, in which you need to know the Lord. Lord, how are you in this situation? How can I gain you here? The sisters are dealing with the kids. We are dealing with the technical things here. I really need to know the Lord. And ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just live myself, but I want to know you. I want to learn. How can I live by faith in these circumstances? How can my faith produce fruit in all these practical situations in my daily life? So that our plant will really be fruitful. Therefore, we need to know the Lord indeed. And the feasts and the offerings have a lot to do with that. Yeah, to know him. And Paul in Philippians, he knew the scriptures so perfectly. Probably there was few persons who knew the Bible like him. But what did Paul say in Philippians? What was his wish? Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We already had fellowship about it. Without sufferings, it's impossible being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do we have such a heart like Paul? Paul knew the scriptures, but still he said, I want to know him. He wants to know the life of the Lord, the power of resurrection. He wants to know his death, his sufferings, and also his resurrection. Me too. I also want to know his death for myself. I want to know the Lord, how myself is crucified. And I also want to know him in the power of his resurrection. That's so applicable in everyday situation. Let us exercise this to have only one thing in mind. Lord, I want to know you in that situation. Because that's what it's about. All our circumstances today are only there to know the Lord. The only purpose is to know the Lord and to bring fruit for Him. That's how we need to deal with the Lord in this last time. Lord, I want to bring a fruit for you. And of course, we all know the parable of the grounds of hearts, the four grounds, right? The sower who sows the seed. And because there is a warning, there are negative examples. He planted a seed into our hearts, and there are different grounds. And today we also need to see that there is a lot of competition for the seed. There's not just this good seed of faith, but there's also a lot of bad things that want to grow in our hearts. Any bad things they want to grow in our hearts, all kinds of weed wants to grow, because the devil sows the weed. And we need to take heed that there is no weed in our heart. For a plant, the worst thing is if there's a lot of competition. If beside a plant there is a lot of weed around, the weed will take away the light, take away the nutrients, and the plant will not grow. And the Lord is saying the same thing in Matthew 13. Matthew 13:22. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. We need to pay attention to that. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and he becomes unfruitful. Let us really take care of our hearts to take out everything that wants to choke the word. Especially in these last days, especially since this recent video that we posted, I asked, Lord, is that really necessary? At work, for example, there's so many things to do. And your heart is easily into it. But I ask myself, is it really worth to put my heart into that thing? Should I allow this world or this job to choke the word in me? We need to know that all these things, all this world is in competition with this wonderful seed in us. And so we need to be clear in this last time and saying no and putting all the things away. We need to be take serious this word. We need to be resolute and strict in these last days with bad things. And in the end, looking at the good seed with the good ground, it falls into the good ground and it bears fruit. Verse 23, the good ground, he who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You may have a different measure, but the Lord wants to see this, that this precious fruit of faith comes to maturity in us according to the measurement that you have received. We don't need to compare it to each other, but we need to say, Lord, this faith that I have received from you, I want to bring it to maturity. Our heart is so crucial for that, because it is the ground for this faith. Let us therefore take heed of our hearts and take care that the word in us has the best possible conditions to bring fruit. Then we shall be first fruits, And we will have a great promise when the Lord comes and inherit. And in the end, it's not just me personally, but actually the whole church is God's farmland. The Lord has planted us here in the church life in Zion and wants to harvest us as good fruits. Let us not be like in the former times, like the people of Israel, where they rebelled so much. And in the end, they didn't just brought no fruit, but actually bad fruits. And God had to judge them. But Lord, we want to be such a ground, such a field that brings precious fruit for the Father. So this way to the first fruit, to become first fruits, is by bringing many small fruits. If every week you experience the Lord, every day you experience the Lord, have a small fruit for the Lord, in the end you will become a first fruit, because the fruits that you gain will transform you. That's why we have to praise the Lord for the sacrifices and the feasts. Each week we can gain the Lord in the small things. He doesn't require or demand a big fruit in the end, but every day, every week, He wants us to bring forth a small fruit. Praise the Lord. Let us, through our faith, produce such a fruit that is well-pleasing to God. Amen.